Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This was my second visit to Tijuana, and the big thing is always getting back across the border into San Diego, because that crossing is always backed up. Theoretically, there are three different types of government identities you can apply for, and depending on what you have, so too would the wait be calculated. There's the ready lane, they call it, and the speedy, and then there's the standard one. I just had a plain old passport, and that means we have to wait a long time. I think the government needs some extra information these days. Well, my friend Jim and I were waiting. Jaime Gutierrez is the man's name, and he had taken the day off from work to get me across the border. I thought that was a little exaggerated, especially when he said, we'll have to leave church at 6 o'clock in the morning. My flight was at 11:30. But I realized what he was talking about when we finally got across the border 2.5 hours later. Now, what do you do waiting for 2.5 hours, inching along your way in the car? Well, people chat a little, comment on things, speculate, watch other people. And at some point, everybody started sounding the horn. It was sort of a Mexican auto symphony, very interesting effect. In the meantime, I was trying to remember a story I had told you once about waiting well, the story of an early Jesuit, the blessed Peter Faber. Once he had to wait a long time to see somebody important in Fribourg, in Switzerland, and he got to thinking and meditating, as a good Jesuit of the old days would, and he meditated about how long God waits for us, and he meditated about how long mankind waited for the coming of the Savior, and so forth. And he was so taken up in his thoughts and prayers, he was almost disappointed when he was finally told that he could go in. But most of all, during that waiting time, I prayed. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. This is praying, or Rogation Sunday. And this, especially in the light of somebody I saw while I was waiting and praying. It was a little Mexican lady who was methodically working the lines of cars, waiting to be admitted to our version of the Promised Land. So I was saying my Hail Marys and Our Fathers for different intentions that occurred to me, decades of the Rosary, the Holy Face, Prayer, the Holy Wounds Chaplet, and my different daily devotions, and don't forget the poor souls in purgatory. And I was watching this lady at the same time. She was sort of a human version of what we all do in prayer. What is prayer? It has two parts. The first is to technically acknowledge the excellence of someone. In other words, somebody has something you don't, who's higher than you in that sense, and could maybe help you. And secondly, it is to beseech, to ask for that assistance. Now, in this case, it was a wizened little Indian woman. She couldn't have been taller than 4 feet tops. Her gray hair neatly braided into a bun in the back, and going from one car to another. My friend Jim explained to me, the Mexicans call these ladies Marias. They're sort of the equivalent of gypsies. They're from Indian families way in the deep of Mexico someplace, Indians who don't even speak Spanish, and they essentially beg for a living. Well, the women do. You see the young mothers with their babies and the old ladies out begging, and the men are probably busy doing something else, and you can imagine what. They don't speak Mexican or Spanish, except for the one word, peso. We got that word out of her, peso. And the gesture, of course, no one could miss. She had her hand out, and you could see a pleading in her eye, just as you might as a beggar in downtown Cincinnati, some poor addict or another. And I got to thinking about the contrast between those two sides of the border. We here in America, we don't like to ask or even to take what is offered. No thank you, we'll say. Or, oh, I didn't want to bother you. I wouldn't want to impose. We, in the land of plenty and of the Declaration of Independence, we don't want anyone to do for us. We're independent and proud of it. So much so that someone who does ask stands out as somewhat odd, curious, pushy, perhaps, and demanding. And watch out for such a character for father or bishop so-and-so. He'll try to charm you, they say, and he's just trying to get you to help him out for some job. Well, yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it, here below? We're not meant to be proud. We couldn't possibly do it all ourselves. That "don't bother me and I won't ask of thee" doesn't translate too well into spiritual terms. However, would you be able to practice pure and undefiled religion, as St. James defines it at the end of today's epistle, on visiting the fatherless and widows in their tribulation, unless you were willing both to receive and to give? But for us, it's an embarrassment to let another help us, much less to ask for it. We forget sometimes in our embarrassment when it happens that other kind of prayer, which is the prayer of gratitude. And maybe that's why people do forget when someone does for them to say, thank you. But today is Asking Sunday. And look, to ask is to adore, to worship is to implore, to carry out what we saw this Lent, man's first duty as a creature. Every prayer, remember, prayer is divided into four kinds. Do you know the four kinds of prayer? They correspond to the four reasons we offer the Mass and you attend it. That is to say, adoration is the first, and the second is thanksgiving, and the third is contrition, sorrow for sin, and the fourth is petition, the asking prayers. By prayer, we recognize the truth. He is the Lord, our God. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. He is the source of every blessing, and we depend entirely upon Him in all of our needs. And consequently, when we pray, we acknowledge Him as our Lord. When we ask for something, we're subjecting ourselves to Him. Someone who never prays is like someone who never asks for help. He probably won't get it either. But what to say of one who never prays, who never asks God for anything? He is either saying that God is not willing to help him, or that God is not able to help him. That doesn't make sense, does it? Or that he has no need of God's help, which is crazy. And so he sins against the faith, because by faith we hold as true that God is almighty and that he is infinitely good, and he is always ready. He is always, as it were, waiting to help us, and that man alone, unaided, can do nothing. You and I are like babies at that point of their growing up when they will cry out, "No, let me," even though he's trying to fit the sleeve hole of his t-shirt over his big old baby head. But he insists on dressing himself because that's his independent mood of the morning. The only condition for prayer that is required is that we acknowledge that God is God and that we have needs. Now, it is true, the prayer of asking, petition prayers, or gimme prayers, if you will, are the only kind of prayers many people ever manage. Or you know how sometimes people will say in a crisis, well, all we can do is pray. And I'm thinking to myself, all we can do, that's everything we can do to pray. And it is true as well that while asking or petition prayers rank as the fourth in the list of prayers, still, it should not be despised. It's something. It's a start. And there's a lot to be said for it, this desperate kind of a prayer. Say, maybe the priest who's on his way to a mission and wasn't quite paying attention to the speedometer, and he gets stopped by the policeman, by the cop, and he prays desperately not to get a ticket. Or, on a more serious note, please let him live, the prayer offered in an emergency room. Or, please take this away. Dear Lord, please provide. I can't cover this. I need the money, or I need the health for this. But in its essence, the desperate, prayerful pleading, that Hail Mary with tears in an emergency room, is just as much a prayer as is the Sanctus sung with the angels at the altar, or the Confiteor ringing out with the altar boys as the hand beats the breast for pardon. Or our thanksgiving prayers. And I don't mean a quick list over the turkey once a year in November, but maybe the thanksgiving we make when we get back to our pew after Holy Communion and put our hands over our eyes and pray quietly to say thank you. Or when sometimes, if the Mass hasn't been too long, we might linger for a minute or even two after the hymn is done just to say, thank you, God, for this Mass. Thank you for the blessings of this morning and for last week and for the new one. Hands seem to have a large part in prayer, don't they? I mean, the prayer of petition makes us to hold out our hands, looking for some good from God, like a beggar. The other kinds of prayer would see us either fist the hand, because maybe we use the fist to sin, so then we beat the breast in sorrow, and then the other ones to hide ourselves in the mystery of God's goodness when we say thank you after Holy Communion, or perhaps just to point them like a steeple towards God when we purely adore him. But regardless of what you do with your hands in prayer, it is sure that Almighty God, if you stretch out your hand, he'll grasp it on the other end. Why would you hold out your hand to God unless he were there and willing to help you? It is a prayer of faith to ask. Nor would you ask, as I say, if you could do it by yourself, alone and unaided, if you could take care of things. No, asking prayers are acts of humility as well. This whole life of ours is what the doctors sometimes call watchful waiting. We're waiting to get over to the other side, and we are all of us inching our way towards the border between this life and eternity. And we are all of us, as we wait, sooner or later, Marias. We are all pleading eyes and outstretched hands. And when we ask God, even out of desperation, we are fulfilling the duties of religion, of natural religion, to ask because there is a God, and of revealed religion, which teaches us to adore the Lord our God by the proper prayer of petition. Now you may say to me, well and good, Sunday sermon, but during the week, no, I don't say morning prayers. Do you say evening? No, I don't say evening prayers. Do you ever get your, no, I don't get the rosary. No, I don't have time. I just don't have time. No time? We're always waiting in modern life all day long. We wait for the toaster to pop and the microwave to bing in the morning. We wait for the light to change on the way to work and for the line to move at the at the grocery store when we've stopped by after work to pick up some food for supper. We wait for the internet to connect for us. Each one of those moments, you could be connecting with God. You could say one Hail Mary or a Glory Be. You could say Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as a prayer, or the Fatima prayer, or Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls. You know more short prayers by heart, most of them indulgence, than you even realize. Use your imagination. Pray in those off moments so that the prayer button will always stay switched to on. You know the prayers, and you should know this. He wants to hear from you. That may be why he sent this need or cross into your day, to shake you up and to make you see that you, proud, independent one, you so sleek and self-sufficient, you, I don't ask nobody for nothing, that you are his creature, that you are made to be a Maria too, working the line with pleading eye and with outstretched palm, peso to plead for, por favor. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.